thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
You betcha.
Here's John Williams.
I got a question for you today. It's 108. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Kim, I'll start with you, but you can call or text on this today. And I'll actually post on it on Facebook, and we'll really make some hay there a little later on. The question is, I meant to mention this yesterday because over the weekend, Brenda and I went with the Petersons to the Jazz Fest in Hyde Park. I would say it was one of the highlights for me this summer. And as we say so long to summer today, I mean, I know we're into fall, but this will be the last truly hot summery day and then fall arrives. What was the highlight for you this summer? What was the funnest or most surprising thing you did this summer? For me, I'm not sure that my answer will be the Hyde Park Jazz Fest, but that was a highlight. Maybe not the single best thing I did, my favorite thing, but I had heard about it. We never went down to the Hyde Park Jazz Fest. It's in Hyde Park. It's over by the, you know, University of Chicago. It's different venues. Some are churches. Some are an outdoor grassy quad, and there's stages all around, and world-class jazz musicians, many of them from the Chicago area, are there doing jazz. This year, they honored Thelonious Monk, a lot of Monk, and then some other stuff, too.
Does it have to be in Chicago or just anything I did this summer?
I think it could be anything. How about that?
My trip to New York City, hands down.
Really?
Perfect weekend. I mean, it was 80, 81 for all the days I was there. Just walked the city, walked the High Line, walked Central Park. It was just fantastic.
What was the occasion?
Just a weekend trip.
Really?
Hadn't been there in a while.
Friday to Sunday, huh?
Yeah, I actually went to Philadelphia first, which is actually also a really neat, unbelievable city. Hadn't spent time there and just wanted to go to New York and added Philadelphia on as a last-minute kind of a thing because I hadn't ever been there, and it was just really so much history, really neat. It was just a great trip.
I think the value of this, Kim, is, okay, so I know you can't go out and do all these great summer things we're describing in October, although you could go to New York, but, you know, the Jazz Fest doesn't come until next year. But it would still be nice just to sort of have a benchmark so that next year, because we do this every year, we don't always follow through, but we say, oh, next year we're going to do that. We are going to go to the Rocky Mountains, or we are going to go to Jazz Fest, or we are going to go to the Air and Water Show and sit at that one location that's so awesome.
Yeah.
By the way, the Air and Water Show this year was fan-freaking-tastic.
We could not complain about the weather this summer. It's been absolutely perfect, which makes your summer great because you just want to be outside. And, you know, another really fun thing that I did this summer was walk the 606. I hadn't done that yet. Phenomenal. And ate at a really fun restaurant in the neighborhoods over there. It was great. It was beautiful.
I'm going to recommend that. I'm going to recommend Philadelphia and New York. I like what you're thinking there. And I'll just add to the list that going to Jazz Fest in Hyde Park should be on your list.
I'll put that on my list.
And not to belabor this point, because we should take this for granted. It should happen organically more often. But it is easily the most blended event, the most heterogeneous event I think I've been to in Chicago in a very long time. Old and young, dark and white. It was just people who really know jazz and people who go, is it Thelonious or Thelonious? You know, it was just such a great mix of people. And that's nice to see, too.
Absolutely.
And by the way, free. On every stage, they said, what's the F word? Free! Because it's a free jazz festival. They ask at the venues that you pay $5. When you pay once, you get a sticker and they'll never bother you again. But if you don't want to pay $5, don't. It's free. And they'll do it again next fall. Thanks, Petersons, for telling me to do that. By the way, let's go to a Bob here. Hey, Bob, this is John. You're on WGN. How are you?
Good, John. How are you doing?
Good.
Welcome back to WGN.
What a nice thing of you to say. What's up, man?
Yeah, I did. Never thought I would be able to do this in my life, but I ran a national show for a viewer club up in Brookfield, Wisconsin. I live here in the Chicagoland area. And it was one of the most best and fulfilling things I've ever done in my life.
Really? Why do you say that?
Well, I do other car shows here in the area, and they're very stressful. For some reason, that five-day event it took me 2 years to coordinate it and get things done, but it wound up being very good, and the people that were working with me were really good to work with.
You going
to
do it again next year?
Next year it goes out to Denver, Colorado.
Oh,
so I don't have to be involved with that. It's we go all over the country, different parts of the country each year.
Well, let's do this. So next year, you know, a week or two beforehand, call me back. We'll give it a good plug for them anyway, okay?
Okay.
Nice that's of you to good. Call, Bob. Yeah, that's kind of the idea. And so what I'm going to do is I'll post this on Facebook, and you can let's just make a little laundry list there. I posted on Facebook Voltaire, because I'm like that, Voltaire. I posted a Voltaire quote. I said, for some reason, this sure does seem to matter right now. And it was Voltaire saying that while I disagree with what you have to say, I will defend to the death your right to say it. It's a quote attributed to the French philosopher Voltaire. My buddy Thomas Jefferson likes to say he lives by that as well. And so defending to the death someone's right to express themselves seems to be a pretty good idea these days. Speaking of which, Aleph, let's just for fun get out the Tina Fey soundbite. So do you remember after Charlottesville went down and the president didn't act in a way that some people wished he had? He didn't say the right words and he didn't say them soon enough. And everybody lost their mind. Saturday Night Live was doing those weekend updates this past summer. So there's Tina Fey at the Weekend Update news desk. And this is what she said about all of the distress that we were going through this summer.
I would urge people this Saturday, instead of participating in the screaming matches and potential violence, find a local business you support, maybe a Jewish-run bakery or an African-American-run bakery. Order a cake with the American flag on it, like this one, and just eat it, Colin. Sheet caking is a grassroots movement, Colin. Most of the women I know have been doing it once a week since the election.
And, of course, the idea is just bury your sorrows, your anxiety in a nice piece of white, fluffy sheet cake. She was championing Jewish bakeries and black-owned bakeries because she said that those are the people that are disenfranchised by the Klan, and the president didn't rebuke them firmly enough. So if you have an African-American bakery in your neighborhood or a Jewish one, she said, go there. So then we called Angelica's Bakery. We talked to that guy named Paul Stokes. Do you remember that conversation? Steve, did you remember that cake that they brought in or that we paid for?
Yeah, I remember you showing it but not sharing it.
Paul Stokes is in our studio again. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Hi, John. How are you?
So it's every day it's something, you know, with this president and this country right now. I think we're all complicit to some degree or another, although obviously Donald Trump is the match that keeps lighting fires. But
yeah, the gift that keeps giving.
So we called you and we ordered a cake and you delivered us. We got the caramel cake, right?
Right.
And then we got a white sheet cake, like Tina said we should.
Right.
And then I think there was some. Oh, and then the key lime cake. Oh, man, you
for
didn't
you
miss with
Petersons.
Any of those. Get a little closer to the microphone so everybody can hear you.
Okay, for you and the Petersons, that's yes. What I heard it was for, right?
The Petersons did not get any of
they
it.
They didn't.
No, we did share, or did I? No, that's right. I did bring some to the Petersons.
Right.
You are absolutely right.
I remember.
So you're in our studio right now.
Yes.
Have you and I met in person before?
A couple of weeks, so about a month ago.
Yeah, you were in the studio, right?
Yep,
we had a nice long conversation.
Yes, we did. Insightful conversation.
I thought it was. I thought
yeah.
You were dynamite.
Yeah.
So I told Elif, I said, let's order another cake from Angelica's. So what did you bring us, man?
I brought you another sheet cake. And because of the current climate, I decided to put an American flag on it and a football.
Oh, yeah. And flowers.
So it's
all good. It's yeah. Everybody is included in this cake.
Absolutely.
Flags, football fans, flowers. It's
right.
All good.
Right, because somehow they've been merged into this huge, mass
it?
Of something.
Oh, you know, that everybody says, politics is wearing us down. Thank God for football.
Right.
Sports. You know, let's just go watch the Cubs play.
Right.
And now we're all in the middle of that.
Right.
We can't escape this.
It's unfortunate. And I think the issue is that somewhere the message has been lost. If you go back to why Colin Kaepernick kneeled in the first place, it was because of, you know, the racial inequality with police brutality.
Yeah.
And that's the message that keeps missing. And now they think, you know, he's protesting the anthem, which is not true. You know,
it's, or the flag or America.
Or the flag. Absolutely not. He's not protesting the
flag.
So
then we got into this conversation yesterday, and that was, so then when the players all link arms or take a knee, what are they saying? And my read on it was that what the players are saying now, and the owners and anybody else that took a knee, Stevie Wonder, mm-hmm. is I am supporting America's Americans' right to express themselves.
Absolutely.
So if Colin wants to take a knee about police brutality, and by the way, he didn't come by that opinion willy-nilly.
No.
I mean, I think he was a very thoughtful person who put his career on the line to express himself, mm-hmm. and it may have cost him his career.
Yes. And millions of dollars, absolutely.
So to me, all of those players linking arms, their message may have been about police brutality, but I don't think it was. Mm-hmm. Not that that's not an issue of concern, but they're talking about the First Amendment there.
Yeah.
I think that's what that was about yesterday.
Yeah, it was. I absolutely agree with you. And the solidarity of against who's in office right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that it was more so, and that's why I meant by the message has kind of been lost in translation.
And I don't even want to make it, and I hear you, trust mm-hmm. me, you and I are not far apart on this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make the locked arms an anti-Trump message mm-hmm. because I think that's too narrow.
Right.
I mean, I get it. But really, the maybe single most important thing that as a country we need to hang on to is free speech.
Absolutely.
Is free speech. So anybody that wants to abridge that, I think, you know, we need to have that conversation right now.
Mm-hmm.
And good Lord, did we? I mean, I was just thought we were going to watch a game. It ruined a perfectly good weekend for a lot of us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's unfortunate that it's become so politicized by just everything, just the climate. But, I mean, there's a lot of good people who have come out since this whole ordeal started over a year ago. So,
who are you thinking of?
On both sides, actually, as far as if whatever your political views are, you have people on both sides saying that, no, there should be free speech. There are veterans who are saying, no, don't use me. No, I fought for us to say whatever you absolutely want to say.
Do you see that TV sports announcer in Dallas? So I put that on my Facebook page today, too. I'm going to play it after 2 o'clock.
I sent you a friend request. You didn't accept my friend request.
Did you really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Because I don't manage my page as well as I should. So it's quite possible you will, and I won't,
okay.
By the way. But don't take that personally. So there's this sportscaster in Dallas. He's like a 65, I'm going to guess, maybe older, white.
Okay.
He must be the venerable sports guy of Dallas. And he's on the TV there, and they gave him over 3 minutes, and he just monologued about what this issue is all about,
mm-hmm.
and he hit it out of the park.
Did he? No, I missed that.
I put it on my Facebook page, and it's got 1,000 shares and 1,000,000 likes, and everybody's commenting on it. I'm blowing up the interwebs today.
Absolutely. It's because of you, John.
With this guy's stuff. I'll be happy to take credit for it because,
right.
You know, my comment on it was, I tried to address this issue, and I came nowhere near what this guy did. He hit it out of the park. So I did want to share it there. And, you know, he's a veteran.
Right.
And my guess is that in Dallas, that's a pretty red state.
Yes, it is.
And city, I think that, like you said a moment ago, it's both sides that are saying this is not an anti-Trump conversation. This is a, I think, pro-First Amendment conversation.
Right.
And conservatives and liberals and Democrats and whites and blacks and everybody are all pretty much saying the same thing.
Right.
I don't like it when people disparage the flag or take a knee. I mean, I you know, that's upsetting to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, well, why are they doing it? And then you have that conversation. I get that it's upsetting to you. It bothers me that we have this knee-jerk reaction that if you take a reverential knee, we judge you. You don't love America enough.
Right.
You're not patriotic enough.
Right. Yeah, that's not the case at all. I mean, it has nothing to do with the military. I mean, if you look back on just the history of the NFL, when it became so about the military, I think it was in 2009 when the military started paying for ads.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and so it has never before then. And, you know, a lot of times the people who are screaming and hollering about, you know, the American flag and the national anthem, if you were to put a camera in their living rooms when they're watching a game, they are sitting there eating popcorn, drinking a Budweiser or a Heineken or whatever. And they're not standing up.
Yeah, wait a minute. Are you telling me that it's incumbent upon us as television viewers to stand and put our hand over our heart during the national anthem?
That's how they're acting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they're acting, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it's not that case.
So let's all pay attention to that. And, you know, I don't know what I don't know what we're supposed to do about it other than at least let's have an informed, fair conversation about it, and let's eat some sheet cake. So, So what is your title over at Angelica's again? I've never really gotten a clear answer from you.
I'm jack of all trades at this moment, but director of IT, finance, and marketing. And
delivery fellow.
Delivery fellow, radio personality.
Yeah, you could be. So we ordered from you a, what is this, a 48-inch or what is this?
It's a half sheet.
Half sheet.
Half sheet,
okay.
Buttercream.
Yeah.
With an edible image of the American flag.
And, which, football. By the way, I'm sorry if that's offensive to somebody, but it's a cake. And we did it last time, and it didn't seem to be a bad idea. And we do have a football on there
and
some flowers.
And God bless America.
And God bless America.
Right.
What could be better than that?
Right.
And then what else did you bring?
And for your staff, I brought some caramel cupcakes. Because I really felt bad that they didn't get any of the key line.
You know, that's nice of you, but really that's not your fault.
How many of them did you? By the way, the man you're talking to is in the right there. That's Steve Bertrand. Wave hello to.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
But I felt it was my duty, Steve.
How many did you bring?
I brought 12. So please make sure Steve gets at least two.
I got bad news for you, Steve. Paul only brought 12, and we've got a staff of.
Yeah, and you're going to the Johnsons tonight or something?
We're going to the Petersons sometime soon. We should probably freeze some of these. All right. Well, I'll steal one and send the rest of them up to the newsroom. If folks want to, for whatever, is this like a good season for you guys? The fall?
The fall. It starts getting better. The warmer months are a little tough on
Angelica's Bakery. Yeah. Bad day to bake today.
Yeah. Now, the last few days has been a little bit miserable, but yeah, October, November is great. And let me tell you, you have some of the most loyal listeners I've ever seen before in my life.
Why do you say that?
After they heard. You and mentioned us the bakery on air. They've come in and they've patronized us. They've bought products, and I've really from the bottom of my heart, WG and listeners, I really do, and the bakery does appreciate your business.
This is a South Suburban bakery,
yeah,
and I think we should do all we can to support every business in every neighborhood, and so thanks to Tina Fey for connecting us in a way. And keep up the good work over there. The website is?
AngelicasCakes.com. That's AngelicasCakes.com.
And the address is?
17535 Kedzie Avenue, Hazelcrest, Illinois.
Do not die on this earth. You haven't tried yet their caramel cake or the key lime cake.
Key lime cake.
And if for some occasion coming up, the holidays, graduation, football party, you need just a good old-fashioned white football sheet cake.
With the flag.
With or without the flag. people are going to start to order the most boring cakes, you know? I want a cake with just icing, chocolate icing, and nothing else, because anything else will offend somebody.
Right.
If you put so much as a squirrel on there, we'll be in trouble. So just get a cake from these people, angelicascakes.com.
Okay. Absolutely.
Nice to see you, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
His name is Paul Stokes, director of all kinds of stuff over at Angelica's. It's 126. Boy, these cakes look good. By the way, we told you that Rhymefest was going to be in our studio. He's going to be on our show, not in our studio, which is too bad for me, but good for you. You'll still hear the Grammy Award winner, who is not just a singer and songwriter, but also an activist of sorts. And I noticed that he was saying some interesting things about the President Obama Library or Museum that's going to be put up on the South Side. We're going to talk to Rhymefest about that in a little bit. So the president tweeted a short while ago about this NFL thing. He said, the NFL has all sorts of rules and regulations. This is a direct quote. The NFL has all sorts of rules and regulations. The only way out for them is to set a rule that you cannot kneel during our national anthem! Exclamation point. We had a labor lawyer on yesterday, Ruth Major, and she was talking to us about can they fire you for taking a knee, for expressing your First Amendment right. And she said, absolutely, they can, with some exceptions. You know, there's contract law and things like that. But by and large, if you're a private employer, an employee, and I don't want you to say or do something and you do it, then I can fire you. And so the owners would be within their right.
Well, it's too late now. Right.
Well, they could fire anybody that took a knee yesterday
or
Sunday,
right? But I mean, and he's right. I mean, they have. I don't know if they still do. I'm assuming they do. They have uniform cops.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. They don't call it the No Fun League, the NFL for nothing.
When the players leave the locker room, they run by, and they used to employ former players because I used to talk to them, and they would stand in the tunnel and watch just to make sure that all the uniforms were in compliance. So, I mean, had they done this 5 years ago or something and said that you must stand with your team, you know, they would have taken some blowback, but they can't do it now.
Well, so here's the new question I think the president is begging. He said, make a rule that says they cannot take a knee during the national anthem. I think that's a different matter entirely. That is a rule that, to me, seems to be abridging your First Amendment right. Well, I have a rule at my workplace that says you cannot express yourself.
But you don't have the First Amendment protection in the workplace the way you do
in life. Well, I'm going to ask her to answer that one more time for me. Don't you think that's a fair question?
I think that they would. I think that the NFL is totally within its rights to say you must stand on the sideline at attention.
Okay.
But it would just be a disastrous thing for them to do now.
Also in the next hour, we'll talk to Nacho Man.
I love it.
The guy that Addison Russell plowed into at the Cardinal game and got nachos all over Russell, and he got himself a little fame and notoriety. Very funny guy. We're going to say hi to him. He'll be on with us in the next hour as well. Okay, Elephant, 3, 2, 1, hit it. Show me the way because the devil's trying to break me down. The only thing that I pray is that my Che Rhymefest is on a phone line. And I don't think Che, it's Sean Williams. Welcome back to WGN Radio. How have you been?
How are you guys doing?
Yeah, good to hear your voice again. I think last time I heard your voice on this radio station is when you were kind of co-hosting a thing with my friend Mark Baser. Is that right?
I have so much fun with Mark, and I always have fun when I'm invited on. So thank you guys for having me.
I was reading. It's my pleasure. So I was reading in the Chicago Sun-Times a week ago, Wednesday. A week ago, was it today or tomorrow? I'm trying to figure out when that meeting was. You were at a meeting on the South Side about President Obama's proposed library. And there were some interesting things happening there. And lo and behold, as I'm following the coverage, your name pops up. Tell me a little bit about, and I'm not shocked because you've been politically active, community active. You ran for, what was it, alderman or
city council?
City council.
Now,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you what's interesting about running for city council. As I told when I was running, I told the community that the guy was a crook. And at this very moment, the guy who won, the incumbent, is being indicted for doing things with the funds he shouldn't have.
Well, you'd think I'm not a crook and the other guy is would be enough to get you elected, but I guess it's not these days.
Especially when it's true.
Yeah, really. Well, okay, but that doesn't have anything to do with this library. So it says here that they wanted in writing a promise from the president or the people making this thing saying that a number of things are going to happen. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, the community wants a community benefits agreement. And these type of agreements are normal when you have corporations, when you have entities that are coming through that are going to do major development that's going to change the cornerstone of a community. The Obama Library is projected to have a $2.1 billion impact on the South Side. I think that it makes sense for the community to get an agreement that 80% of the people on the South Side will be able to maintain their homes. I mean, we're looking, even on the North Side, you can see how rents are projected to go up from $800 a month to $1,400 a month. Imagine what's going to happen when the Obama Library, you know, lands in communities that people are already in. So I think that it's the right thing to do for the president and the foundation to do a community benefits agreement. What does the community get for that type of impact?
And this will sound paternalistic, but I think some people might say, you're getting a library. Isn't that enough? We put a $1 billion project in your backyard, and that's not good enough? What do you mean we got to put it in writing? What more do you people want? What would you say to somebody that says that?
Well, first of all, I would say don't call us you people, because we're all in the same community. But second of all, I would say, If the face of the community changes, then what did the community really get other than transplants? You know, we want to make sure that the people who live on the South Side can continue to afford to live on the South Side. The businesses on the South Side, we want to make sure that they can continue to do business and don't get pushed out, you know, as big chains come, you know, to the community. So the community wants to make sure that it can retain its integrity and its culture. and not lose that with a billion-dollar project.
I wonder if you worry that what could happen with a project like this is what happened to the United Center on the West Side. Hey, it's a great big, the millions and billions of dollars are going through that thing, and it really hasn't spurred a lot of growth. I mean, I know that what's the main corridor out to the United Center heading west? That's been getting more and more developed along the way, but by and large, you haven't seen a transformation around the United Center.
But I think as opposed to that, if you look at where Cabrini Green used to be, you see all types of development happening in those areas. And, you know, by and large, the people who were there got pushed way out somewhere else, you know. So we want to make sure that any kind of economic development that happens in the community can benefit from. And, you know, whenever we're talking about community development, there are risks that are taken, you know, but it's risk that's taken for growth. And so in hopes of that growth, you want to make sure that the people who live there can work there, that wages go up. I mean, they're talking about throwing up a 13, 14-story hotel next to the library. We want to make sure that the community has access to those jobs. And I think that the best way to do that would be to make an agreement. Now, I believe that Obama wants the community to fight for this, because what do we know about Obama if we don't know that as a politician, he wants people to hold him accountable. He often says it, make me do it. You know, as president, if you want this, and come in and voice what you want as a community. And I think that's what we have to do. Some people try to make it like it's an anti-Obama thing, when really it's this is the way we need to do business. The world is watching what happens with this Obama library. And if they don't do a community benefits agreement, why should Google? Why should McDonald's? Why should anyone else?
Jay Reinfest is on a phone line. So what are some of the things you're thinking about? You want to maintain a certain housing stock that's affordable for the people that are there. What else?
Definitely. We need to make sure that we have a say-so in transportation. How is transportation extended? You know, not right now the Red Line goes to 95th Street. Well, you know, they're talking about extending it all the way down to the south suburbs. We need to make sure that the people that are working those type of jobs are from the south side of Chicago. We need to make sure that businesses aren't pushed out. Training programs, maybe microloans extended to businesses so they can expand their capacities. I'm an artist, so of course I'm going to advocate for artistic incubation centers so that as we develop the south side, we don't miss out on the color and the art and the physical art and musical art. So we just want to make sure. We also want to know who's on the board of the Obama Foundation and the library, and can we have people from the neighborhood the community neighborhoods on the boards that are helping make the decisions? Don't only give us the jobs, put us in decision making positions. And I think that when that happens, that when we talk about divestment in communities and violence, when that happens, you'll see all this stuff start to go away.
What are you hearing from them?
As of now, it's kind of like, tell us exactly, specifically in writing what you want, and then let's negotiate. But they're still saying, we're not going to call it a community benefits agreement. And my question is, why not? What in that language are you afraid of? And we want to go so far, and when I say we, there's organizations like STOP and COCO and a few other community organizations. We want to go as far as to say it should be a city ordinance that whenever you're doing $500 million or more in business with the city, there has to be a community benefits agreement. That should go automatically. People shouldn't have to fight for this individually. The city should ordain that should be a rule.
Speaking of rules and regulations, what's your read on the president asking the NFL to forbid players from taking a knee? Have you sounded off on that one?
Well, I haven't, because it's distractions. You know what I mean? Like, how important is that when people in Puerto Rico are literally starving? They don't have water. They don't have food or resources. And when I know that there's a whole island of people who are at risk of dying, I really don't care about the protests and should you take a knee or not take a knee. It's arbitrary. When we know we're in the midst of a potential nuclear crisis, and we're talking about football players taking a knee. We got $2.1 billion of infrastructure impact that can happen on the South Side, and that's what the president is concerned about. I think that it's ignorant. That's the only word I can have for
it. I got one last question for you, Reinfest. I often wonder this about artists like you who are so involved in so many things, and you can tell they really care and feel and think passionately about it. Is there always a song in the back of your mind? Like, are you always thinking, how can I convert these feelings and this energy and this topic into something musical? Or is that a different part of the brain and you don't work that way?
Well, I would love to, man, maybe you just say a rap before we go off air, before you end the segment, to tell you where I am lyrically.
Okay,
if
go
that's
ahead.
Okay, can I?
Go ahead.
All right.
Yep.
We're pointing fingers at each other, but we missing the point. I got a friend that's doing time just for rolling a joint. Who got the power over your life? Is it the whites or corporations that paid Congress that gave them the rights? You got cameras on every corner while they cut off your lights. My sister on the internet giving it up for likes. If I get shot down like Martin Luther, the sad thing is, yo, I probably knew the shooter. A visionary never gets to live to see the future. I was a consumer, but now I'm a producer. And I think that the point is that we're all poor. There is no blacks getting more than whites, whites getting more than blacks, or Mexicans are taking our country. The rich are confusing us and pitting us against one another. The same person that foreclosed on my granny's house took somebody else's trailer home. And we have to come together and stop the nonsense.
Come up to the studio sometime, man. It's not that far. I'll send an Uber for you or something, okay?
I appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
It's Jay Reinfest, and this is WGN.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
I give.
Here's John Williams.
And give.
I'm not kidding.
Make a full. I'm dancing as fast as I can for you.
You
people.
Were talking to Reinfest.
Yeah.
I went into the studio.
Did you really?
I look at the box. There's a cupcake missing.
I noticed there was one when I was handing some out to somebody else. I thought, where did it go? That was you?
I was five, not even 3 feet from you.
I was laser focused on Reinfest, and then when he broke out into a spontaneous rap, I thought, okay, this could go badly. And it went really well. So thanks to him for being our guest a little while ago, talking about some of the things they feel need to happen as the President Obama library gets built on the South Side. By the way, I was talking to my friend Susan Kelly Costello, the owner of Kelly Cruises. You know, I'm doing a trip with folks from Kelly Cruises, and just under 50 of you, and we'd love to have 50. So I asked her, give me one more highlight I can just mention for folks who are thinking about next April going on a trip with me and Brenda to the Mediterranean. She said that space is still limited in all of the categories, but any room you want, you could probably get at any price point. And they are still able to provide a $500 per cabin shipboard credit. What are you going to do with that money? Well, with $500 to spend on your pocket when you get on the boat, you could go to the Canyon Ranch Spa there and spend it and still have some left over. They have several gift shops, and I use the shipboard credit to buy watches. I've come away with some lovely Citizen and Tissot watches from the store because they give you cash literally when you get on. And then they have executive a collection of shore excursions so that if when you get into port, you want to do some sort of excursion that's really over the top and would cost extra, then you've got money to spend that way too.
And this is Italy?
Yeah.
Oh, sounds
France
pretty nice, yeah.
Spain and stuff like that. Did you know that this is where Nostradamus is from, where we're going? Saint Remy in Provence. Van Gogh painted 150 paintings there. We're going to go to some of those places. So if that sounds of interest to you, visit my friends at kellycruises.com. Kellycruises.com, we want to sort of fill out that thing. It is 2:12. And you know, if I could do that at 2:20, I would. But I can't do it right now. I did want to mention this. So we're all kind of wondering how seriously to take the battle of the words between Kim Jong-un and President Trump. I mean, literally, they have said that the United States has declared war on them. And we are flying planes, military aircraft, farther north, closer to North Korea than we have in decades. And, of course, they have counter-ballistic missiles now. It looks like they have a hydrogen bomb. You know, not all of those things are connected, but one wonders what the value to either side of this ratcheting up of the rhetoric has. and you wonder how badly it can go, or this, you know, like the market didn't fall out and I'm actually not losing sleep over this. I'll bet you're not either. But you wonder just how seriously to take all of this. The cover story in The New Yorker, the September 18th issue, has as its cover art simply the top of Kim Jong-un's head. All you see is a flesh-colored swath of forehead with two eyebrows and then that famous pompadour hairdo of his that's just sweeping back across sort of a gray-black background. And then they tell you the story of Kim Jong-un and who this crazy clown is. Here's just a couple of paragraphs from that. Suddenly, the prospect of nuclear confrontation between the United States and the most hermetic power on the globe has entered a realm of psychological calculation reminiscent of the Cold War, and the two men making the existential strategic decisions were not John F. Kennedy and Nikita Khrushchev, but a senescent real estate mogul and reality television star, and a young third-generation dictator who has never met another head of state, period. Between them, they have less than 7 years of experience in political leadership. By the way, I'm not sure what the word senescent means, but I'm going to look it up after the show. S-E-N-E-S-E-E-N-T.
You don't know that word?
What does that mean, Steve?
Dotard.
I know. That's right, dotard. I'm a dotard. So here is their description of Kim Jong-un. I mean, here is who we are playing I Know You Are, But What Am I With? Kim Jong-un executed two of his father's seven senior pallbearers, his uncle Jang Song-taek and Army Chief Ri Young-ho, and he expelled three others. His father had also executed senior cadre and had come when he came to power, but killing Zhang, his uncle, an influential family member with deep ties to China, was an act of extraordinary boldness. The charges against Zhang, this is why they executed him, rang from treachery to applauding half-heartedly when Kim Jong-un entered the room. If you ever watch video of people at an event where Kim Jong-un is appearing, you know, CBS or somebody, ABC goes there, and you see these videos of him walking out, and the generals and soldiers and the citizens in the street, they don't applaud. They jump up and down with glee. They're crazy how happy they are to be in his presence. Maybe they are, or maybe it's a bit of an act. His uncle may have been executed in part because he did not applaud vigorously enough when Kim Jong-un walked into the room. To continue here. He executed his father, had also executed the charges ranged, aides were put to death. Oh, yeah. So it says here it was an extraordinary act of extraordinary boldness. The charges against him ranged from treachery to applauding half-heartedly when Kim entered the room. Many of Jang's children, this is the guy that was executed, and aides were also put to death in ways that were intended to capture attention. Some of these people were killed by flamethrowers. Others were shot by anti-aircraft guns before outdoor audiences. Media reports that Zhang himself was fed to dogs proved to be false. He was executed by firing squad. President Obama's chief Asia advisor has said that Kim Jong-il's approach to managing elites appeared to be more incentive-based, that's Un's father, than coercion-based, making sure that they all got goodies and spoils. That's what Kim Jong-un's father wanted to do, just make sure that he enjoyed sort of the fruit of being the imperial leader. The son's approach appears to be, if you screw with me, I'm just going to kill you, and I'm going to kill you in a really nasty way. The principle that was expressed most dramatically earlier this year, the target was Kim's estranged half-brother, Kim Jong-nan. That's the guy, remember, that was at the airport? Remember the video of that in Myanmar? And he's standing there with a jacket and a backpack, and two women come up to him, and they rub chemicals in his face. They rubbed chemicals in his face, and then they ran away. They were caught, by the way, and they are charged with murder. Their trial is going to begin later next month. But they rubbed chemicals in his face, and it is now believed that those were nerve gas agents that they literally smeared on his face, and he died a short time later. They talk about Kim Jong-un's health in this story in The New Yorker. They say his most visible vulnerability isn't other generals or people that would kick him out of office. It's his health. He is overweight. He is possibly diabetic. They go on to talk just about what his sort of ability and attitude is like. And then they say this. It is a measure of how impoverished America's contact with North Korea has become that one of the best-known conduits is Dennis Rodman, a.k.a. the Worm, the bad boy of the 90s-era Chicago Bulls. Rodman's agent, Chris Volo, a hulking former mixed martial arts fighter, told me recently, this is obviously from the perspective of the person that wrote the article in The New Yorker, told me recently, quote, "I've been there 4 times in 4 years. I'm in the Korean Sea, and I'm saying to myself, no one would believe that I'm alone right now riding Sea-Doos with Kim Jong-un." Rodman's strange bond with Kim began in 2013 when Vice Media, aware of Kim's love of the Bulls, offered to fly American basketball players to North Korea. Vice tried to contact Michael Jordan but got nowhere. Rodman, who was working the nightclub autograph circuit, was happy to go. He joined 3 members of the Harlem Globetrotters for a game in Pyongyang. Kim made a surprise appearance and then invited Rodman to dinner and asked him to return to North Korea for a week at his private beach resort in Wonsan, which Rodman later described as Hawaii, but he's the only person living there. On his most recent trip in June, Rodman gave Kim English and Korean editions of Trump's 1987 bestseller, The Art of the Deal. And I guess all of that is just to say, I don't know what's going to happen or even is supposed to happen, but it's interesting to know who the players on the field are. And it is President Trump, and it is this guy, Kim Jong-un, and maybe Dennis Rodman. I'm not sure. It's 2:20 on WGN. So there's Chicago. They're real. Watch Dan Ponce and Lauren Jiggetts, Larry Potash and Rodden Baumgarten. That's Get Real in the Mornings with WGN-TV Morning News, weekdays from 4 to 10. I'll bet you know someone who's getting older and wants to stay in their home, and I'll bet you're concerned about their safety. You should be. We should all be. Because 1 in 3 Americans over the age of 65 will fall this year. Or everybody over 65 will fall once every about 3 years. Let me introduce you to Remodel Direct. Remodel Direct is a company that does one thing. They're a Chicago-based company. They serve all of Chicagoland. They make homes safer and more comfortable to age in. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody could come to your house or your folks' house and kind of walk through it and go, well, we need a stair lift, or you need a, say, tub-to-shower conversion or a special bench in the shower to make it easier to take a shower. You know, those handles and grab bars that look in hospitals so institutional and drab don't look that way anymore if you know where to shop and if you know who can install them properly. And that's all these people do. And good Lord, do they do it well. I'm so glad they visited my parents' house. I want them to visit yours. Call 888-70-DIRECT. 888-70-DIRECT. That's 888-70-DIRECT. I posted the full video and audio of this on my Facebook page today. I'm just going to play a clip for it. But imagine on the TV news on Dallas the other night. This is Dallas, Texas, right? And the sportscaster, this is the way I understand it, does an op-ed commentary at some point during that telecast. And he's talking about the NFL, which I guess is sort of in his wheelhouse. But I think who says it and where they say it is also an interesting part of this story. I wondered what the fallout was. So I posted what this guy said. I'm going to play a minute of it or so for you here, and then he'll join us here on WGN. This is Dale Hansen, WFAA Sports in Dallas.
Former 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick takes a knee during the national anthem in San Francisco last year. We noticed, but very few players joined him. Not many players seem to care. He can't get a job in the NFL now, and very few have said much about that either. But the president says he wants that peaceful protest to stop, says those players should be fired if they take a knee during the anthem, and calls those players a name I never thought I'd live long enough to hear a president say. Donald Trump has said he supports a peaceful protest because it's an American. Americans right, but not this protest, and there's the problem. Any protest you don't agree with is a protest that should be stopped. Martin Luther King should have marched across a different bridge. Young black Americans should have gone to a different college and found a different lunch counter. And college kids in the 60s had no right to protest an immoral war. I served in the military during the Vietnam War, and my foot hurt too. But I've served anyway. My best friend in high school was killed in Vietnam, and Carol Meyer will be 18 years old forever, and he did not die so that you could decide who is a patriot and who loves America more. The young black athletes are not disrespecting America or the military by taking a knee during the anthem. They are respecting the best thing about America.
And he goes on like that for 3+ minutes. Dale joins us now here on WGN Radio in Chicago. Hi, Dale. It's John. You're on the air.
John, how are you, sir? Actually, I think it was 254.
Well, I know in my business, and I think it's even more particular in yours, they count the seconds, don't they?
Well, yeah, you know, actually, and this is a very minor point of this whole deal, but we were this was at the end of a special that we were doing leading into the Cowboys game last night.
Wow.
And we were short on time because we had some technical problems earlier. And as I was listening to it there, I thought, man, I'm really reading that rather fast. And so it doesn't sound quite as good to me as I hoped it would. But then I don't like listening or watching myself on TV, and I try to avoid it as much as I can.
As a matter of speech, I thought it was perfectly written and delivered. And I suppose some people applaud it and some people don't. What's the reaction been there in Dallas?
Yeah, well, that's been exactly the reaction. This is hardly a scientific poll, but most of my response has been favorable. I've had a couple of hundred emails, 30 some calls directly to my desk line, and somewhat surprising, the response has been favorable. And in support. The ones who obviously are opposed to what I said last night think that I should be shot and dumped in the Trinity River. But I've heard that before. It kind of comes with the territory. It's really a tough situation because no one seems to want to talk about the issue. They just want to choose up sides and decide who's right or wrong. And we've been that kind of a country for a long time, and it bothers me a great deal.
And I wonder if there's any value then in having this kind of conversation, however frustrating it is. At least we're looking squarely in the mirror right now. Would you say that?
Yeah, I think we are. And I mean, I'm hearing that. In fact, one guy who was very critical of me said my buddies and I were just finishing up lunch, and we spent the hour talking about all the BS that the fat Dale Hansen was bloviating about last night on TV. And I actually wrote it back, and I said, well, I'm flattered that you spent the hour talking about what I had to say. It's a start.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I think it is. Will it change anything? Oh, I don't know. I mean, again, it's bits and pieces. You know, we take it in baby steps, and I hope that's all I've ever tried to accomplish. Although a lot of people would disagree with me about this, I've never said that I'm absolutely right. I believe I'm right. Otherwise I wouldn't say it.
Yeah, sure.
But all I've ever tried to accomplish, was to get you to think about what I'm saying and preferably debate it with your friends. And maybe we all learn something. And in some cases, I think I've had that impact, and at the very least, I hope I have.
Well, Dale, did your TV management see the script before? I have in my mind this image of Texas as a red state and the Dallas Cowboys as America's teams with a lot of Trump supporters and Republican voters there. And then you're going to trot that out before the game. So I'm wondering, did they have to sign off on it? And did they have an opposing view presented against your speech there?
No, I tell you, I want to be as clear as I can be about this. I started writing these type of commentaries several years ago, and most of them didn't get a whole lot of notice until the internet and Facebook and all the rest of that came along. And so for the last, three, four, five, 6 years, I've gotten quite a bit of play out of some of the things I write, and primarily because I am basically that liberal guy in what is perceived as a hardcore red state. But no, I never have been asked, nor would I, Have I been asked to have management sign off on what I say? The discussion we had years ago when I started writing these pieces was that if they were to see it and think that I had slandered someone or that I had libeled them and put the station at risk, then we could talk about it. And that has happened one time, and they were right about that. It's another long, boring story, but they were right. But people are always surprised by this, but I do not get pre-approval on my commentaries. I told them I would write what I believe. I think I'm smart enough to write what doesn't slander or libel someone. And since I'm putting my signature on it, this isn't necessarily your point of view. And we have other people doing commentaries on the air, but as of now, anyway, station management has been incredibly supportive, and they loved it, at least the emails that I'm getting from station management. But they've disagreed with some of the things I've said over the years, but it's one of the luckiest things that I've said about my life is that I work for a station that allows me to use this platform to write things that they don't necessarily agree with. We do not get our marching orders at Channel 8, and I think that's a good way for this business to operate.
Dale Hansen's the sports guy that you may have seen the video of today from WFAA in Dallas. I want to get more hits on my page, so I just cut and pasted your thing on mine. So if you want to see what we're talking about, and I just played a little of it, you can see it in its entirety at WGNradio.com. My Facebook page, I'm King John on Facebook, and you can see it there. Just one broadcaster to another, I said on my post, I've been trying to get my head around this, and I can't do it as well as this guy did in just under 3 minutes. So well done, Dale.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that very much. And it's a very complex issue. It's a multifaceted issue that I was just arguing with a friend of mine who's on the other side, who thinks I was wrong, who thinks that no one should be allowed to protest during the anthem, et cetera. And our basic discussion centered around just that. I said, well, tell me what would be the right protest. Tell me any protest that doesn't make you uncomfortable, that you don't agree with. And that's what I said in that commentary as well. I mean, that's the real problem here is that as I said, Martin Luther King was told, don't march through our city streets. Go sit at a different lunch counter. Young kids in the 60s were told they can't hold sit-ins to protest the war. Anything you disagree with that makes you uncomfortable, you're absolutely going to jump to the side of, well, do it someplace else.
Oh, but I think that's the essence of protest, too. I mean, it's not a cooperative thing. It's a protest.
Right.
Yeah. Dale, I got to go. You probably have to do some TV news or something or sports over there. So.
I do eventually. Yeah, you bet.
Have a good afternoon and keep up the good work.
John, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
By the way, you did the story earlier of the another case of hazing, a football team. One was a college, one was a high school.
Yeah, Niles North.
How does any football team from peewee to pro think that they're going to get away with a hazing ritual anymore?
How long since you were 16 years old?
I know that, but I mean, you and I've had this conversation off the air. I believe we were in the room and we were talking about it. We were recording the Mincing Rascals.
Yeah, you were hazed.
We all were at Manuka High School in the late 70s, and it was terrible, some of the things that happened, and they should not happen. My point was that up to a certain point, I'm not that interested in criminal prosecution. When you cross the line, and some of these guys have, then throw them in jail, teach them a lesson. Maybe that'll be a deterrent to the next guy. But that just happens. My point today, Steve, is knowing that now, how does anybody think they're going to get away with it? We are hypersensitive, as maybe we should be. There's internet and social media now. And that if you make a mistake, if you tag along with the dum-dums who want to haze a fellow football player, you'll be lucky if the only thing that happens is you get kicked off the team. You could go to jail.
I know,
go to jail.
There is a crowd mentality, one, and two is these are young people, you don't think in those terms.
How does a coach, so if I'm the coach of a team, I go, guys, all right, we're all a team here, and I know that we have certain rituals, and you seniors want to beat up the freshmen because you got beat up when you were freshmen, or whatever that is. If I get a whiff of that, will cancel the season. The quarterback will be benched. You know, just, I don't know. Wouldn't that work, Steve, that tough talk?
I did a lot of things that would have gotten me benched had my coach known in high school.
I guess.
Thank you, Coach Krieg.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't understand.
Didn't you?
Probably. I mean, sure. Did I do stupid things at 16 that I would be mortified if my 16-year-old did today?
I mean, I'm not saying there shouldn't be an investigation and something shouldn't come of it. I'm just saying it's not that hard to understand.
I guess. When I was a kid, you know, here's, I think, the drinking and driving conversation a lot of us have with our kids. We said, you want to ask me if I was an underage drinker? I was. I'll tell you the truth straight up. I don't want to get caught in a lie because I'm not good at it. But I'll tell you this. It was easier for us to do it back then. You know what the cops would do if they caught you in the back roads of Manuka? They'd say, pour the beer out, now go home. You will not get that pass in LaGrange. So just, you know, the world has changed. Too bad for you. But you do not have the luxury to be stupid the way I was. It's the same way with these hazing kids. You cannot do that anymore. By the way, speaking of sports, so Cubs-Cardinals, right? Addison Russell goes into the stands. How many times have we seen a Cub go flying into the stands to get a foul ball? In this case, it was in St. Louis, and Addison Russell falls into the lap, I think, of a Cubs fan. But more importantly, there's this guy standing next to her with a big tray of nachos, and Russell's foot kicks the nachos, and they explode all over everybody. And Addison Russell gets nacho cheese all over himself. And the guy is just like, oh, come on. He's got front row seats. He's about to sit down with his nachos. And he's just got this, oh, give me a break look.
No playoff.
Russell in the foul ground. Look out. And I think he came up short. He's got a handful of nachos is what he has.
Right? So here's the guy that lost the nachos.
What will you do with this newfound stardom?
Probably a nacho sitcom.
Nacho, he is now known as the Nacho Man.
Nacho Man.
His name is Andrew, I believe it's pronounced Gudermuth, and he's on line 7. Andrew, this is John Williams. You're on WGN Radio in Chicago. How are you?
I am fantastic.
Okay, so you are the manager at Solstice Sunglasses in Chesterfield, Missouri, right?
Yes, sir.
Congratulations. We all needed a smile, and you sure gave us one, man.
Well, I definitely gave myself one.
That was your girlfriend sitting with you?
Yes.
And how did you two get such great seats? Are you regular front row seat holders, or what was the deal there?
So we actually got the seats as a gift because my mom went through chemo last year, and we couldn't go to any games. And so it was a gift for us to go and have a good time and hang out, and we had no idea that any of this was going to happen.
Wow, so this game sort of had a little special meaning to the two of you from the get-go, huh?
Yes.
Hence your, at least in part, your dismay. So there you are, about to sit down with a tray of nachos, and, you know, you were like the Bartman of nachos now. You kind of got in the way of Addison Russell trying to catch that pop fly.
I think it was more along the lines of he tripped over the wall.
Yeah, you are.
he definitely speared my girlfriend pretty good and then knocked my nachos out and my nephew's nachos out.
Oh, that's a lost part of the story here. And the nephew's nachos. So the story gets even more complicated. And so then they interviewed you on the big screen afterwards because you kind of blew up right then and there. Did you know that Twitter was loving you and the TV broadcasters were talking about you?
I had no idea.
So when did it hit you that, oh my gosh, I'll be doing interviews tomorrow?
It hit me whenever the cat came down.
What do you mean?
The announcer for the Cardinals came down and interviewed me.
Oh, yeah, right. So that was your first inkling that, oh, wow, this is a big deal. You said you want to be on a nacho sitcom. I don't know what a nacho sitcom is, but that's a pretty...
I do not either. It was just, it came to mind and it was...
So that all happens, and then the two of you just get in the car. Did you listen to the radio on the way home? Did you hear people talking about you as well?
We actually didn't listen to the radio. I didn't know that I was viral until I got home, and it was just insane.
What did Addison Russell say to you when he brought you the nachos then after that?
He shook my hand, he apologized, and then it was just kind of, he handed me the nachos, and he took a selfie with me.
He's got work to do, Steve. He's a starting shortstop for a Major League Baseball team. Okay, all right. Well, any other insight or fun to share with us on all of this? Because you look like the kind of guy I want to sit at a game next to. You look like a fun guy on TV. You know, because at first you were like, oh, you give me a break. But then you sort of laughed at yourself and the whole thing, you know?
Oh, it ended up being hilarious. Probably one of the most eventful nights of my life.
Yeah.
Nope. I noticed your girlfriend's wearing a Cub blue sweatshirt. Is she the smarter one of the two of you?
She is actually not a Cubs fan. She was just wearing a blue sweatshirt.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think you might want to look into that. I mean, you know, there's two colors you can wear to a Cubs-Cardinal right. game, and one of them is blue.
I mean, she made a choice.
Well, I'll let you get back to that customer in the store there, Andrew. Next time I need sunglasses, I'm going to go to the Solstice Sunglasses store in Chesterfield, Missouri. Thanks for saying hi.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. Have a good one.
Take care. He wants to be in a nacho sitcom. Not exactly sure what a nacho sitcom looks like, but I think he should be in it. Yesterday, just to be clear, we asked a labor lawyer, so your employer can fire you for expressing your views. You have this constitutional First Amendment right to express your views in this country, with some limitations, but I think we all understand that. If you say or do something, can they fire you because they don't like it, even if it is an insufficient expression of patriotism? And the answer was, by and large, yes. But then the president also asked another question today that I don't think we actually got to yesterday. The president today said it's real simple. The only way for the NFL to get out of this is to institute a rule that forbids taking a knee. Remember, yesterday the conversation was, if you take a knee, do I have the right to fire you? But the president is saying to get around all of this, just to nip it, what they need to do is have a law that says a rule that forbids players from taking a D during the national anthem. They have to stand and they can't protest. Okay, now, isn't that a different question? Can you have a workplace rule that forbids my First Amendment right to express myself? So we asked the same labor lawyer to come back into our studio again today just for this one point. Ruth Major is back in our studio. Ruth, thanks for jumping back over here. How are you?
Real good. How are you doing?
Okay, so we just have a couple minutes here, but I think maybe we can answer this in a couple of minutes. Yeah, is an employer within their right to do that as well?
So, you know, there's a couple of things that you need to look at to make that determination. First of all, specifically with regard to the NFL football players, they're protected by two contracts, the collective bargaining agreement and their individual contracts. So the first thing you'd have to do is look at their contracts and see if the contracts limit what types of rules the NFL or the teams can put into place.
Our read, you and I talked about this yesterday, at least on those contracts and particularly the CBL, is that the team and the league have a lot of leeway. If you do something that embarrasses them or cuts into their profit margins, they can fire you. That's what it looks like, right?
That's correct.
Okay, I don't know that the language in that contract anticipated something like this. You know, did the players' union think we need to get a rule that says that they can't pass a rule that would keep us from expressing our First Amendment right? I would be shocked if that language was in there.
I would, too. I would expect it probably isn't.
But for all of us generally, if I'm working at a plumber's shop or at a radio station or anywhere, can my boss say that that you have to stand for the national anthem or the pledge before work, and that if you don't, I'll fire you?
Well, it goes back to what we had discussed yesterday, which is, unless they're instructing you or prohibiting you from doing something, and that instruction would violate the anti-discrimination statutes or the whistleblower laws that protect whistleblowers. But, you know, putting those aside, because employees are employed at will and they can be terminated for any reason,
yeah,
it follows that the employers can set up basically whatever rules
they
want.
Here's the workplace rules.
Yeah.
But they can't say, all right, all the Catholics have to stand for the pledge, but the other people don't. That would be religious, and that's protected.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So it can't be something that is race-based or selective as to gender or that type of thing.
Okay, so those areas that we've carved out in federal law. But otherwise, generally speaking, an employer can do that. They can say, I'm telling you, I'm shocked. I think I get it. I am understanding this. I've never thought about this, but my boss can say, you have to stand for the national anthem. If you don't, you're fired. That's the new rule. Nobody's saying the NFL is going to do this or any of the teams will do this, but it's the president's suggestion. And if they wanted to take him up on it, they would be within their right, most likely.
Right, because it, you know, at-will employment, which is in all 50 states in the United States, allows employers to terminate employees for any reason as long as it's not prescribed by some federal statute, and that's usually race, gender, religion, that type of thing.
To my knowledge, nobody's been fired from the NFL. There was one player on one team who took a knee, I think, in Oakland, and he was like the local Chevy dealer guy, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so they said, we don't want to run his commercials anymore. And they're probably going to cut ties with him. But they said, we sure don't want his face representing us on TV. He's the guy that took the knee. He can take that hit. Mm-hmm. But again, that's within their right as well, isn't it?
As long as there's nothing in the contracts that limit the NFL or the team from doing that.
Ruth Major, labor lawyer at Major Law. Okay, appreciate you walking over here.
Okay, nice no problem. Nice to see you.
Anna DeVlantis is in the studio.
I am.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing, John?
Super totally groovy. What's going on?
I love that you have a ginormous red, white, and blue cake in here. And I noticed that everyone in the building was coming down, and I had no idea of said cake being in the building. And they're coming in the green room saying, where's the cake? Where's the cake?
Tina Fey, after Charlottesville, said that when we're stressed, we should sheet cake. We should
remember.
And so I thought, you know, it's time for another sheet cake from angelicascakes.com. So my buddy Paul came over with another cake, and this one has the football and the flag and some flowers.
Yes,
everybody should
everything.
Be. It's a very inclusive cake.
Love that. We're all feeling included. As soon as we get a piece of it and are allowed to eat some, I think we're going to love that, John. Thank you for bringing it in.
Well, I'm sorry. There's not enough, really, for everybody, Anna.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, me and you at least. We'll enjoy it.
What's going on?
We've got Adam Kinzinger joining us. Did you see what happened to health care? They're not. Mitch
How about
McConnell
that?
Says not even going to vote on it. Their effort to repeal Obamacare considered put a fork in it. It is done.
Were you surprised
now,
to see? So you figured maybe McCain and Collins, but Cruz was one of the ones that
yes.
came out. So I'm like, look who's got his big boy pants on.
Fascinating stuff, huh?
I didn't know he was going to do that.
No, you saw the Rand Pauls of the world and you considered
yeah, right.
Collins, you're right, in that list, but it grew even more than you thought. So we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about North Korea, the latest there at the kneeling as well. We want to see what Congressman Kinzinger says about all the issues going on in the world around the NFL and the flag as a veteran himself. Look who's here, Rokan here, because we're going to talk to Skilling, too, about maybe some cool
weather.
Which
another day we broke the record. We were at 91 a little while ago.
John Cass stopped me in the hallway just
it's
now.
It's his fault.
On my way in. And,
well, that couldn't have gone well.
It went well. I mean, he has thoughts, and he wanted to share his thoughts. I go, I got to go upstairs and do this for a living. I can't have this conversation.
I do enjoy talking to John Cass, but
yes.
sometimes there's a lot to talk about.
Oh, for
and
sure.
You stop for longer than you think.
For sure. But, yeah, so all of those things that Anna just mentioned are coming your way. And an amazing set of admissions, by the way, if I may say so myself.
Mm-hmm.
Did she mention we're going to have Rear Admirals in charge of the Navy SEAL program?
No.
To talk a little bit about, there's a big event coming up here. And we'll talk a little bit about what patriotism means, too,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the people who actually serve, not the people who say they served or want to make it out as though they're, and the president's serving. I mean, he's a commander-in-chief of the military. I'm not taking that away from him. But I think that there's a lot of definitions of patriotism that apply.
And it's not exclusively military.
Correct. Correct. And I think you find that, too, in the military, too, the respect for the citizenry, too. I just think it's not a one-way street. We're caught in arguments that are ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
These are rhetorical arguments that mean nothing in the long run.
It feels that way.
Not to name drop, but Rhymefest was on our show a little while ago.
Mm. Che?
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
Mm-hmm. And so I said, what do you make about this? And he goes, I don't have time for this. We got other stuff to do. I thought, oh, boy, this is red meat for Che. He's going to really have something good about this.
Sure.
He goes, no, the president doesn't either. Move on. Next question.
Yeah.
He had no time for it. Good
right.
for him.
Good
yeah.
for him.
We got North Korea wants to do something bad. We got to figure that out.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, John.